If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret. Searching for the sound. This is The Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
You've been listening to Rise from Corey Henry and the Funk Apostles and their new album, Something to Say, due out October 30th. You may know Corey Henry's Hammond B3 sound from his work with Snarky Puppy or his various guest appearances with Wolfpack. What you may not know is that prior to the release of the Corey Henry and the Funk Apostles debut release in 2018, Art of Love, Corey Henry was content being an instrumentalist and not a vocalist. Well, since that album was so well received, of course there's a follow-up. Something to Say, due out October 30th. Corey tackles subjects like love, breakups, social consciousness, injustices, and the effects of being emotionally drained. While those topics aren't necessarily pick-me-up topics, but very serious ones in light of George Floyd's murder and the Black Lives Matter movement and such, Corey attempts to spin the positivity wheel and inspires us with hope and unification. I caught up with Corey to talk about this new soul singer-songwriter sophomore release and suggested to him that while you have your whole life to prepare for your first album, the second one sneaks up pretty quickly.
So, yeah, I feel like that quote is right, even though I never heard that quote before, but I do agree with it. You have your whole life to make your first record. I didn't think about that particularly when I started making records, because I was just fascinated by the idea of making records in itself. I never forget, like, some of my earliest experience was, like, you know, getting a Yamaha Motif or rolling a XP60 and learning the sequence functions and putting the drums in there, you know, because I was like, oh, I didn't know you can do this type of things. You know, I always thought it was just like always live music and whatever, as an early kid. And then I remember getting Pro Tools, and I remember, you know, spending a lot of time in a studio, you know, my brothers, you know, just making songs and stuff like that. I was just like, oh, I want to put these out, you know? Luckily, I was fortunate, I would say, because most of the records that I put out up until this point was instrumental albums, you know? So I was really just wanting to showcase my talent as an instrumentalist. It wasn't until the last 5 years in terms of starting the Funk Apostles and deciding to just 100% be a lyricist that I was like, oh, I need to say something, you know? I listened to, like, some of my favorite music, which is, like, love songs by Stevie Wonder and Marvin Gaye, right? So I think my first record, I was just wanting to sing love songs because I know everybody loves love, you know? Like, people are, you know, who are married and, you know, family, friends, you know, whatever the case is, homies. It just made sense to me as a lyricist to write songs that was about love. And that felt good to me because love is a universal thing. This record, I didn't want to mirror that vocal standpoint anymore. I felt like I was overdoing something that, you know, like that wasn't really speaking to my heart. And I wasn't really into technically trying to say something that was like totally conscious to our times. I don't sit in the studio and say, you know, this happens on the screen, I'm just gonna go ahead and write the song about it, you know? And there's nothing wrong with that, because, you know, like, I feel like that's what we're here for. But the thing is, I wanted to be inspired. I always watch videos of, like, protest in the 60s and, you know, and all of these crazy things. And I used to say to myself while watching these videos that I wish I was in those times, right?
Yeah.
And then it's like, you turn on CNN or whatever the case is, you like, oh, we're kind of in those times. So yes. The songs just started coming to me like, you know, things just started speaking. And I was like, I want to speak to that. You know, some of my favorite artists did the same thing. And I want to do what my favorite artist did in some kind of way, shape, or form. And
that's how we got here, right?
That's how we got here. You know, that's kind of like where the inspiration from all these other types of songs came from. I was just like, I wanted to say what I got to say.
Well, there are songs on this record that aren't necessarily socio-political songs. Like Happy Days is not, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it is another love song, but... You know, there are songs like Rise, which is an important song. And I think a unifying song that's written to inspire people to come together and make this place a better world, no matter what color skin they have or no matter what part of the world they're from. Talk mm-hmm. a bit about writing songs like that, because you have to think about two things now. Like you say, you're playing on the song, but you're also singing the lyrics to these songs. So you have to, oh boy, that's a big pop. So you have to think about what you're saying too. Mm-hmm. Is writing lyrics for you as easy as it seems that playing an instrument like the Hammond is?
It's tough. I'm very hard on lyricists as a listener, you know, and I won't say hard, I should take that back, but I do critique enough because like I listen to a lot of records, but it's not critique in the form of like what's better. It's just like, I be trying to see if I measure up. And a lot of times I don't feel like I do as a lyricist. You know, it takes me a long time to get to a simple lyric. You know, sometimes, you know, certain lyricists that I work with and are, you know, amazing at this thing that they do, you know, they can do that as I can play keyboards or something like that. It's like, it's a thing. But when I put the focus on trying to do it myself and trying to connect that part of it and feel good about what I'm saying at the end of the day, which is the big part to me, like, you know, I wanted to feel good. Like, oh, I can say, you know, we can sing some of these songs, me and Apostles, we can play some of these songs on stage and I feel really good, you know? And, most of the songs, if not all of the songs, you know, have that kind of life and some to me, you know, as an artist. And that was my goal, you know, more so than anything, because I've never been on record singing. Nobody really knows me as a singer.
Right.
Yeah.
What's more difficult for you? Practicing keyboards or practicing vocals and making sure that your vocals are just right?
Vocals.
Yeah. Cause it's so fresh. Cause it's so new. I mean, you've been playing Hammond since you were like 2 or 3, I read. So
yeah, I've been playing organ since I was 2 years old. And the organ comes like drinking water. I can get up and do it at any given time. And because it's an electronic instrument, all I have to do is be alive. But my voice is a different instrument and it's connected to my body. So if I don't get enough sleep, I can't sing high. You know, if I don't go and exercise sometimes, it won't like oil up. You know what I'm saying? I have to like drink a lot of water. You know, I'd be in the studio for 12 hours or 8 hours sometimes, like trying to like just like vocal sessions. You know, I'm drinking a lot of water, but I'm taking a lot of bathroom breaks. So, you know, it's like just to get a vocal done sometimes, it's a lot of preparation, a lot of execution in terms of like, what I have to do to get it done. You know, certain mics, certain rooms are different, you know, changes to vocal production of a song. And I'm, you know, learning all of this as I go, and just spending more time as, you know, just because I'm interested in it, you know?
Right. You have a live show coming out for Halloween. Well, it's not for Halloween, but it's coming out on Halloween. And this is kind of cool. It's a virtual concert. I mean, it must be pretty weird for you to be putting out a record and not being on the road to tour that record. So I guess this makes up for that, right?
Yeah. It's normally I make records for touring, you know, I'm like, oh, the crowd, I love this one. When I wrote Rise, you know, I wrote Rise last year, summertime, or you might have recorded it last year, summertime, so I might have wrote it at the top of the year, something like that. It was not during a time in terms of when I think we were all, when I say we, the world was, you know, not just mentioning the pandemic, but, you know, like, I don't think there was like a major, you know, killing or something crazy that had people on that subject of type of, you know, like it wasn't, yes. It was a cool time in America is what I was trying to say. And that was, and I just wrote the song because I was listening to a lot of Larry Graham and Sly Stone. And I love 70s funk. And I was writing it for the band. We had a tour coming up. We played it on October. I want to say we played it for the first time last year, October. That's crazy. And we played it in Brooklyn Williamsburg Music Hall. And the crowd, I'll never forget it. There's a video somewhere floating around. I saw it. The crowd would not sing it. They would not stop singing it. I was like, wow. Rise, people, rise. All my people, we got to rise. I said, I did a thing. And it was only validated by the crowd's response. You know, this time, I don't really get that with the rest of the songs. But I do get another feeling, which is in terms of what the gratification that I get out of listening to the music when I know it's done. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a process for it to get done for me. So when it gets done, I'm like, oh, do I like it? And by the time I say I really like it, I'm like, all right, I hope that people like it. And we're playing some of the songs on this on some of the Halloween special, and we're getting that together, and it's fun. I hope that people like the live versions of the songs that we have.
Well, you know, the live versions often stretch out beyond what's on tape, so I'm sure people will be psyched to hear the solos and the playing that you and the Apostles do. So I'm sure people are psyched to hear some live music. You know, it could be, this record could be seen as, you know, not necessarily a protest record, but a record that really deals with these issues. But I think you deal with them in a different way, in that they're positive. I think, you know, Don't Forget and Happy Days, two of the other songs on the record, are so uplifting and positive, and even Rise is positive, that, you know, with all this pain and with all this nonsense that's going on, there is a way to overcome and kind of get at it and tackle the problem. Is that how you feel about it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do think that there's an answer. We haven't figured it out yet, but the more that we're willing to try to figure it out, whatever that means in different scenarios, but I think that kind of universal truth is, to me, plausible. It's like, you know, if we can figure it out and be open to figuring it out, that we can get to the answers and at least an answer that we would all like to see in terms of unity, peace, and love, and, you know, the things that really uplift us all, that we all like, and I feel like we do. Most people do that I meet, you know.
You have so much gear. I mean, you're sort of flipping between rooms. There's so much gear in your house. Are you always writing? Are you always noodling at, you know, there's a Fender Rhodes, I think, behind you right there. And
this is my Whirly.
Your Whirly. There's other stuff. There's two pianos behind you. Are you always playing? Are you always trying to come up with riffs or lyrics? Or is that something that you're just always doing?
No, music is just what I do, man. Music is what I do. And I really care about sounds. I really care about sounds. Some of my favorite songs are, you know, created on these types of instruments, not in a computer.
Right.
We live in a computer-dominated age, and I love the VSTs, you know. I use them a lot at the studio. But in terms of the things that I like to do, it's like they was all created on real instruments. They was heavy. They all, like, kind of contain wood or something like that, you know, or whatever kind of, yeah, just kind of some physical element. And that makes me feel good. You know, it makes the things that I play sound better. You know, if I play this piano, it's going to sound better than that VST piano, no matter how in tune that VST. That's the crazy thing, because VST pianos being tuned, you'd be like, it's perfect, you know, but like, this thing has character. These things have character.
And so do you think about playing live off the floor on some of the, I mean, you do in a live performance, but when you're recording stuff, is it mostly VSTs or are you playing some of these instruments?
It's a combination of both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the preference is to play, obviously, the real.
Until I get a studio that's big enough.
Right.
Then I probably won't play a VST. I'd be like, no, stop it. Right. We have the instrument.
So a lot of these songs, as you said, were written. So are you writing more songs for number three already? I mean, is that, or are you absolutely. Just, yeah?
Absolutely. I'm writing more songs. If I can quote LeBron James for 3, 4. I'm literally already up to 5 or 6 projects in terms of concepts and ideas that just is going to take me a little bit of time to flourish out and get done. It's already going down.
And what's the deal with, is this the full-time thing now, or are you still hanging out with Snarky Puppy and still doing things when they call on you, or when the guys from Wolfpack call, are you still around to help out in other ways?
I mean, I haven't played with Snarky Puppy in probably 6 years, beyond maybe a pop-up performance.
Right.
those are my homies. I still speak to most of them, if not all of them, through social media or the phone. And the same for people like Wolfpack and all of my other homies that I've ever played with. You know, people do call me. I am writing a lot more with other writers and other artists. And, you know, I've been spending my time in the studio a lot. But yes, to answer your question, this is a full-time job. You know, I'm the much more focus is on me as an artist, Corey Henry as an artist, and trying to find the sound that I think is important to leave here in this earth. You know, things that I think that is going to inspire and uplift and bring joy, because that's what I do want my music to do, honestly, at the end of the day.
Well, dude, I think it's a dope record. I've heard it front to back. I think you have a lot of important things to say, and I think you say it in a very positive way, and your playing is as tight as ever, and the rest of the band is as well. Thanks for taking the time, dude, and thanks for something to say. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
What a very humble and charming dude. Really enjoyed our chat and can tell you that you will really enjoy Something to Say due out October 30th. In case you want to catch Corey Henry and the Funk Apostles live, you can stream a concert Halloween Eve, and those details are available at CoreyHenry.com. Before we leave you, let's have a listen to another track off of Something to Say. Here is Don't Forget.
Been listening to the Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.